Mistakes in life are inevitable, but when it comes to your career, making a mistake can be brutal. The good news is that a lot of these mistakes can be avoided. This is We Served Now What, the podcast where your questions get real answers so you can turn your post-military life into your best life. This is Season 7, Episode 2. My name is Aaron Perkins. I'm a U.S. Army combat veteran, husband to a beautiful wife, daddy to two amazing teenagers, and if you hadn't already guessed, I'm the host of this show. Today's show is focused on one single thing, helping you avoid career mistakes, regardless of what you choose to do with your life and how you want to spend your career. You know, I was originally going to be sharing four keys to avoiding those mistakes so you don't screw up your career, but I decided to add one more, and you'll see why once I get down to number five. I'm also going to share a bit of my own experience from when I transitioned out of the military, and I'm going to be flat out honest with you about the mistakes I made so you can avoid making those same mistakes. Well, here we go, Season 7, Episode 2, and the first thing I want to cover today in this episode about not screwing up your career is some of my own experience. Here are a few of the mistakes that I made. One of the biggest mistakes I made when I first got out of the military was I thought I knew enough. I thought I had all the experience, expertise, and education that I needed. Because here's the thing, I actually got my bachelor's degree, graduated from college before enlisting in the U.S. Army. Don't ask me about the whole why didn't you go officer thing. I've heard that question so many times over the course of my life. And the reality was, I literally did not know about it, which brings me to my first point. I didn't do nearly enough of my own homework. of doing the research necessary to even find out my own options before I went in the military. So when I came to get out of the military, I showed up on test day, so to speak, without actually studying. I thought I knew enough. I thought I had all the experience and all the expertise and education I needed. And my experience showed that was false. I still had to do the homework, to do the research, to look into the jobs that I wanted, right? Or that I was interested in getting, or the type of work I was interested in doing. I had to look at what is it that they are looking for. I might have great leadership experience that I learned in the military. I might have a college degree, but that might not fit for a lot of different jobs out there, a lot of different lines of careers, so to speak. So I didn't do nearly enough of my own homework, and that was a big mistake I made because I got to the end of my military career and was like, I was super confident. I really was. I mean, I knew I had skills. My biggest problem, I didn't know how to communicate those to a civilian recruiter, civilian hiring manager. So I failed on that part. And along those same lines, the second big mistake I made, I did not take the time to explore my options. I didn't take the time to explore my options. It is well worth your time to explore your post-military options or your second career or third career options before you go launching into it. So when I left the military in 2014, VA, they provided a list of options, but it was still on me to do all the homework, like I mentioned earlier. They weren't going to just tell me, like I had been told in the military, this is your job, this is where you need to be, this is what time you need to be there, this is what you need to wear. All of those things I had to figure out on my own, basically. Yeah, are there services? Are there people out there who can help with that? Absolutely. But no one is going to do it for you. And they certainly didn't do it for me. It was on me to take personal responsibility and do that. And honestly, the hardest part of all of this and even admitting this today is that my family suffered greatly. Wife, two kiddos, and we still feel the effects of it years later because I did not spend the time and effort necessary to do my homework and research all of my options and decide on where I wanted my career to go. My family and I ended up completely out of work soon after I separated from the U.S. Army. Now, that leads me to another mistake I made. I grabbed the first job offer after separating from the military, which resulted in disaster for me and my family. It wasn't a good fit for me. It wasn't a good fit for the organization, but I let my fear drive my decision. I thought, man, there's so many red flags with this job. You know, it makes me nervous to even consider taking it. Man, I don't know about this, but I looked at, you know, our bank account and I looked at my wife and kids and I'm like, I have to feed them somehow. And I didn't know how to do that. So I thought, man, I've got to take this job. This is the only option I have. It wasn't the only option I had, but I thought it was. And so I let my fear dictate my decision making. And that was a huge, huge, huge mistake. You know, I mentioned not being a good fit for the organization and vice versa. Couple this with the fact that I was experiencing PTSD symptoms. I didn't even know that's what it was, but that just compounded the issue. So today, I want to help you avoid some of those same mistakes that I made. And there's going to be five key elements I'm going to give to you today. The first one is this: fix your thinking. Fix your thinking. The world is not against you. It may feel like it. And honestly, sometimes it does feel like it, especially after you've hung up that uniform for the final time and you've been in the civilian world for more than 24 hours, you suddenly realize, wait, I don't have a unit looking out for me anymore. It's just me. But how do you fix your thinking, right? Like, what is that going to do? How is that going to impact my career? The truth is, and research bears this out, you can look it up for yourself, there are two ways to fix your thinking. And these are things I do my best to do every single day. Number one, live with an attitude of gratefulness. Live with an attitude of gratefulness. But what does that mean, right? How do you live with an attitude of gratefulness? Because a lot of us, especially in the Army, I can't speak for the other services, but I know there's a saying in the Army that if a soldier is not complaining, you're doing something wrong as their leader. Because that's just the military culture. We're complaining about the mission or the food or the lack of facilities. We're just complaining, right? But here in the civilian world, once you get out, you can dramatically change your life by living with an attitude of gratefulness. For example, I'm sitting here at my desk looking at my computer monitor. I've got my recording equipment here, and man, I am so grateful for all of it. I've got my bottle of water here, and I'm so grateful for the water. And I've got my pen that I can write on my notepad with, and so grateful for all of it. It's like, well, that almost sounds cheesy. Yeah, it kind of does, because we're so used to finding the bad in things or finding things that aren't working well. I would encourage you, live with an attitude of gratefulness. And the second thing to do to fix your thinking is to choose to believe this: your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. And I point this out in the Resolve book, which if you haven't picked up a copy of that, you can pick it up on Amazon. I'll post a link in the show notes. But your best days are ahead of you. And here, look, I get it. I was in the military too. I know what it's like to have a sense of purpose. I know what it's like to look down at my chest and see U.S. Army and know what my mission is for the day or the week or that month, right? I know what it's like to be in top physical condition and just ready to take on the world. And it's really easy to look back at those days and say, well, those were the good old days. My good old days are behind me. No, they're not. you can still make a positive impact on the world, and your best days are still ahead of you. So, number one, fix your thinking. Number two, be informed. And again, remember, this is where I messed up a lot. Be informed. And you're on the right track by listening to this show today. But what do I mean by be informed? Like I mentioned earlier, you have to do your own homework. No one's going to do it for you. No one's going to bug you if you don't do it. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take focus. Now look, there are a lot of things you can be informed about, right? When it comes to avoiding mistakes in your post-military career, the most important thing you can be informed about within the context of being a veteran or being a veteran family member is really pretty simple. And it really just breaks down to this. Know the resources available to you as a veteran that will help you in your career. Now, it's like, okay, well, where do I even start? Again, I'll post this link in the show notes, but the VA provides career counseling services. And you're like, oh, I'm probably not eligible. Well, maybe you're not, but this is the part where you have to do your own homework. It is on you. There's no NCO hounding you about getting this done because you are red on a certain activity. You're red on dental. That came up a lot when in our pre-deployment health assessments. Hey, you need to go to the dentist because you haven't been in 6 months. But that's beside the point. If you're going to school, right, talk to your veteran counselor or talk to your advisor. This is on you to figure out who that is, what their contact information is, for you to go and reach out to them. Number three, you cannot expect opportunities to come to you. It takes work. And if you're seeing a theme here, there absolutely is a theme. It is that you have to do the work. Think of opportunities as a gift, right? They're there for you. All you have to do is reach out and take them. But no one is going to force you to take advantage of them. I think that was something that was really surprising to me when I left the military. I thought, man, I have all this experience. People are just going to be, you know, knocking down my door to get me to come work for them. That was not the case. When I got out, I basically had to start over and prove, hey, this is what I want to do. This is the experience I have that relates directly to that job or that career. This is why I want to do it. This is why I'm passionate about it. This is what I know I'm supposed to be doing. And I went about it that way. But those opportunities, they do not come to you automatically. They're there, but you have to take advantage of them. And now look, as a post-9/11 veteran, you have a variety of educational opportunities available to you and your family. One of the big ones, post-9/11 GI Bill. I've used that. I used it to complete my master's with zero debt. They pay you while you're going to school. Chances are a lot of you listening to this right now probably know about the post-9/11 GI Bill. Another thing a lot of you may be eligible for is the Dependents Educational Assistance Program. So if you are a Gold Star spouse, you may be eligible for that. If your spouse is 100% service-connected, VA disability, you are most likely eligible for that. There's another program called the Fry Scholarship. You may be eligible for that. Again, this is homework that you need to do on your own to figure out if you are eligible for it. It takes work. And here's the thing. You also have a variety of career options, especially if you have service-connected disabilities that prevent you from going into a career that you want to be in. Now, I did an interview with my friend Will Simmons over at Simmons Law, and this guy knows his stuff. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to put our interview into this episode, but I'm going to include a direct link so you can get a hold of Will and his team. I'll include it in the show notes. He talked to us about VR&E, or what used to be vocational rehab. Now it's veteran readiness and employment. And it is not an educational benefit per se. Yes, it can help you go to school. It pays for your school, but it is a vocational benefit. Like you say, hey, I want to have this career. This is why I can't do what I'm currently doing. based on these disabilities I have, these service-connected disabilities. So what I want to do, I want to go and be in a separate career, in a different career, but I need training to do that. I need to go to, in Will's case, he went to law school. I need to go to medical school. I need to go learn how to be a welder. I need to go learn how to be a plumber, whatever it is, right? But here's the big takeaway from the VR&E. And again, you can find out more about it on the VA website. Again, I'll post a link to so you can get a hold of Will directly and talk to him and his team about it if you would like. And Will is paying me absolutely nothing to say this and paying me nothing to put his information on there. I trust this guy, and you want somebody who is no nonsense and will tell you straight up whether you're eligible or not and can help you. This is definitely your guy you want to go talk to. But I'll post his information in the show notes, like I said. But the big takeaway I got from our conversation is that you have to advocate for yourself, which goes right along with the theme we're already seeing in these steps, right? That's the first three things. Number four. Before I go to number four, I want to recap the first three again. Number one, fix your thinking. Number two, be informed. Number three, don't expect opportunities to come to you. Opportunities are a gift. You have to reach out and take them. Number four, you will always find what you are looking for. Write it down. You'll always find what you're looking for. And that what does that sound like, right? That sounds more like just, you know, some philosophical advice. Well, it is, but it's also very, very practical. If you're looking for a reason to be angry, you will find a reason to be angry. You're looking for a reason to blame someone else because your career isn't turning out like you thought it would, or you're struggling to transition out of the military, you'll be able to find somebody else to blame. But if you are looking for opportunities to take your career or marriage or relationships to the next level, you'll find those too. You will always find whatever it is you're looking for. So if you're looking for those opportunities, you're going to find those opportunities. And again, they're not going to come to you. You might see them, but you still have to go get them. And finally, number five, rest. Just rest. And now, I don't mean to be lazy. I don't mean to make excuses for yourself or to feel sorry for yourself. I mean exactly what I said. Rest. When I was out of work for months after losing a job that, like I said, was not a good fit at all, I worked at all hours. Parked myself in front of the computer, submitting resumes, stressing about life, interviewing, and just hoping that someone would see some potential in me and hire me. It drove me into the ground. My physical health suffered. My mental and emotional health suffered. My relationship with my family suffered. Now look, I know it's hard to rest. I know it's so hard to rest, to just breathe, because in our society, in our culture, it's like, hey, what's the next big thing? What's trending right now? You got to keep up with everything. Take time to reset. Take the time you need to take care of yourself. And speaking of rest, for me, things have come, honestly, they've come full circle. In my career, I'm now on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've gone from looking for a job to having a really great full-time job, a family, a business to run, volunteering to do with my local community. And honestly, at this phase in my life, it's time for me to rest. So this episode that you're listening to right now, this is the final episode of the We Serve Now What podcast. I have so many mixed emotions about saying that and including that degree of finality. But you know, sometimes the greatest wisdom often comes from those who are the closest to you and who can see, hey, you need to rest. And that's all I'll say about that. But Courage to Fight Again will still be around. our past podcast episodes. Yep, they'll still be there wherever you get your podcast. And you can follow us on social media. We're most active on Facebook. Or head over to our website at CourageToFightAgain.com. Pick up a copy of the Resolve book, still available, still in print. And I got to tell you, this has been such a privilege over the last almost three and a half years to sit in this seat and be able to speak words of hope and a message of purpose into your lives as veterans and veterans family members. It has truly been my honor to be the host of what was the Courage to Fight Again podcast, and we rebranded to the We Served Now What podcast, where we answer questions. And look, I know we all have a lot of questions, but the most important question you can ask yourself is this: have I accepted the forgiveness of sins that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, as always, thanks for listening. We Served Now What is a production of Courage to Fight Again.